Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
It's time for You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley. They bring you the betting insight, laughs, and some rants along the way.
They put the wire in the back of his neck in the Matrix, and he goes, I know Kung Fu. Guess what I know? I know the National Football League. Just plug me into the Matrix.
We'll give you an edge to beat the spread and so much more.
I think if you bet every single under on the board, you win money no matter what this week. I just think there are some dynamics that are interesting. Is scoring going to go back down? Our defense is a little better prepared this year. In college, the answer to that was a resounding yes. I think that has given us a glimpse maybe of what week one is going to be like.
What do we call that? Wagertainment. It's You Better You Bet. QL.
Hour number three, Tremendous Thursday with Nick Costos, Ken Barkley here with you on BetQL. A lot still to do here on the show. Next hour is the Power Hour. All our bets for tonight. Side total and props for the Washington football team and the New York Giants. We got a lot of props in the pool of props. Like way more than I thought. I've got a really strong thought on the side. Really strong thought on the total of this game. I feel like we're going to make a lot of money here on this game tonight. Or we're going to lose a lot of money. One of the two. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, so apparently we're going to be broke or a millionaire. All right, well, that seems like a good tease for the final hour of the show. That sounds great. Yeah.
Absolutely can't wait to get into it. Sam Paniadovich from Fox Sports Nesson joins us in 20 minutes. We'll do a little betting aside to close the hour, hosted by our guy, Rick Camp. But right now on the show, we are very excited to bring him on because he's one of the sharpest minds out there when it comes to football in general, fantasy football, DFS, player props, etc. He's also like the star of Twitter right now because every time I log into Twitter, I see an underdog fantasy commercial with this guy as the talent, and it's all pretty awesome. That, of course, is Odyssey Sports Fantasy Football Insider, our pal, Josh Norris. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights to sports books. They don't want you to see it. Download the BetQL app and visit BetQL.com today. Like, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Do it today. You can also hear Josh talking on the Underdog Football Show, available on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. Josh, welcome back to You Better You Bet. Nick and Ken here on BetQL on a tremendous Thursday. How you feeling? How did week one treat you and yours?
I feel even better about week two than I do week one. Guys, I have about three underdogs really liking this weekend. I'm sure we'll get into some of them in a little bit, but I feel like we learn a lot about the vision of what teams want to be offensively, if they can achieve it. And some teams, I don't even know if they showed us anything at all about what they want to be. So we still have a lot to learn in week two as well.
Well, Josh, it's interesting you bring up that point. That wasn't where I was going to go first. But, you know, in a gambling context, usually week two, week three, we always talk about like not overreacting to week one. We just had Rob Pizzola, like a professional bettor, on, and we were asking about, you know, like, what week one performance do you kind of take seriously? What do you think is an overreaction in terms of the next week's line? You mentioned that you watch teams, and I believe your exact quote was you learned a lot about their vision, and with some teams you learned nothing. Give me one team you feel like you learned a ton about just from their week one performance, and one you feel like you learned absolutely nothing about.
I'll start with the nothing. I learned nothing about the Green Bay Packers in week one, because I feel like we'll look back in that game, maybe not the score and the win, the loss necessarily, but just how it played out in, 5 to 10 weeks, and just say it's a throwaway. I mean, they had, 12 plays run with about a minute 30 left in the first half, and that's it. Like, there was no rhythm. There was nothing. And that was even going for it on 4th and 1 in their own 34-yard line and converting it. So I know a lot of people maybe bought the peak of Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones and Davante Adams last year. Look, I'm not saying that they're going to be bad at all. They're not. I still think they're going to be a really solid team this year, but I do think that they ran hot last year in a lot of places. And I'm not sure how many areas, like even their patchwork offensive line played well. So is this a dominant force in the NFL, meaning the same record they hit last year? No, but should we start worrying about Aaron Rodgers and if he's, working from the inside to destroy this team, like I heard some of the storylines this week? That is completely mind-blowing madness that I heard for this week as well.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question about it. Although he does have like the stupid like stoner surfer hair right now. Got to do something about that, Aaron. But yeah, we expect, I think we expect it. Yeah, relax, bro. I think we expect him to play better Monday night, obviously, against the Detroit Lions. We can get into game-specific stuff here. But Josh, want to get your take on the biggest story in the week in the fantasy community, which is, of course, what to do with the San Francisco 49ers running back position, right? I know a lot of people are hot on Eli Mitchell now. Trey Sermon's still there, though. I mean, who knows if he'll be active or inactive. That was obviously a stunner. Jamichael Hasty as well. They claim Trenton Cannon, right, from Baltimore, though maybe he'll play more special teams than anything else. What do you make here of the Niners running back group for fantasy and in real life here, right, as the Niners are a 3-point favorite on Sunday at a pretty good run defense with Philadelphia, total 50.5?
The only statement we can be certain of is that Eli Mitchell has a place in this backfield, right? Because he had it heading into week one and he has it now. It's shocking when you consider, obviously, they drafted both he and Trey Sermon this year. They're the ones who traded up for Trey Sermon, and Eli Mitchell went in round 6. But what's always stood out to me about that pairing is this team has no other backs under contract in 2022 other than Trey Sermon and Eli Mitchell. So like they were going to be the future, but now Eli Mitchell is the present. Now, I think from a skill set standpoint, he's most similar to Raheem Mostert in terms of running that outside zone, in terms of having really good straight line speed. This Trey Sermon conversation, and I think you and I talked about him before the season, like it seems like we were just all lied to, not just by beat writers necessarily who covered the team during training camp, and it wasn't their fault, but also just the usage, because he was splitting time with Raheem Mostert during preseason and didn't put a wrong foot forward. It's to the point now where we have zero confidence in him until we see the volume, his role in this offense. I would be shocked if that doesn't increase and actually he legitimately has a piece of it. But it's to the point now where if you have Eli Mitchell as your running back 3, I think that's totally cool. Heck, tonight, if you want to start Eli Mitchell instead of Saquon Barkley against the Washington football team, I've heard some people go in that direction as well. It's an offense we want pieces of. And again, the only back that we should have any certainty in right now and moving forward is Eli Mitchell.
Josh, I want to make sure we hit on your underdogs. Obviously, you mentioned you have a few that you like. Before we do that, one thing I think is always interesting with fantasy analysts and like things from a fantasy perspective is the really, really high total games on the board or the games that have been bet up a lot from a total standpoint. Kind of like, do you agree from like a player standpoint that that will also be like a crazy, I think the word Nick used earlier in the week was bonanza game, where there's going to be like player prop overs everywhere. You want to start fantasy players like at all positions in this game. The game that most fits that description this week is Dallas and the Chargers, where the total's been up like 3 points over the course of the week and is now 55.5, which is obviously an astronomical total in an NFL game. I'm not quite as sure that Dallas Chargers is going to be like a bonanza. I could be wrong about that. When you look at this game, do you see like crazy high scoring back and forth? And what kind of player props or players would you like in that game?
Just quickly, that 4 o'clock window is going to be crazy. 50 total in Minnesota, Arizona, 52 Atlanta, Tampa Bay, 55 in the game that you mentioned, then 54 in Tennessee and Seattle. With Dallas and the Chargers, we saw it in week one where, and we saw it in the first 4 games of last season, when they're forced a negative game script, the Dallas Cowboys are going to throw the football. And CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper are going to feast in those scenarios. And Kellen Moore, thankfully, has come out and said with Michael Gallup missing, Cedric Wilson is going to start in his place and play all over the formation. Now, who that does hurt is Ezekiel Elliott, because last week was an absolute buzzsaw matchup, and they could get nothing going on the ground because Vita Vea is, you know, the best run-stopping nose tackle in the NFL. But where Zeke continued to play, and it's because he's playing over Tony Pollard in the situations, is a lot of those downfield throws that Dak was making would not have been possible without Ezekiel Elliott picking up in pass protection. So I'm not sure how much rushing volume, how much production Zeke's going to get again. He's going to play a critical piece. Quickly on the Chargers, we've seen a metamorphosis in Austin Eckler's game with Justin Herbert. Like, he saw zero targets this past weekend, man. For a player.
Sad.
He's one of the best receiving backs in right. But what we saw was them trusting him inside the red zone. He led the NFL in inside the red zone carries this past weekend. So are we getting one and giving the other, you know, because I just don't know, Nick, if like inherently Justin Herbert has it in him to check the football down, because his arm is so outstanding and he's making these far hash throws that almost no other quarterback in the NFL can make. And that makes Keenan Allen, especially Mike Williams, playable each and every week.
Yeah, he was throwing darts. It was really impressive last Sunday against the Washington football team. You better, you bet. BetQL, tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, talking with the very sharp, the very entertaining Josh Norris, Odyssey Sports fantasy football insider. Josh, we can kind of bounce around after this answer and hit a couple different games here, but do want to get your three underdogs that you teased early on in the interview, the three underdogs that you like this week number two in the National Football League.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, one I'm most confident in, and I know this line has changed since, you know, earlier in the week, but I really like Cincinnati getting 2.5 against Chicago. I was a bit skeptical of Joe Burrow heading into the season. I mean, so much of that was just the buzz around that training camp, and obviously Jamar Chase with drops, so on and so forth. He's not going to drop every pass, obviously, but we get to this point, and now he looks outstanding. I mean, this team looks so good, and they had such a clear plan in place. And there's this, you know, stat being thrown around of passing over expectation right now, and how the Bengals were last in it after being, you know, middle of the packer in the upper echelon last season. Well, it's because Joe Mixon is now an absolute workhorse and feature back on three levels. And that it just makes sense from the perspective that Joe Burrow is coming back from a significant knee injury. And I feel like so much of this line is baked into this history that we believe that the Bears defense is incredible. And I just look at it from this past weekend, where there was a minute and 11 left on the clock. We're still trying to figure out who Zach Taylor is. And he finally showed us. It was a pass to T. Higgins, a pass to Joe Mixon, a pass to Tyler Boyd, and a 50-yard touchdown to Jamar Chase. No timeouts in Joe Burrow's pocket. And he was still able to convert the touchdown, which almost put the game away at that point, and really separated them. So to me, what we're getting from the Bengals is like their vision lining up with their play in terms of adding all these skill position players. And I just think that they have a great shot this weekend to cover that.
So Josh, you mentioned Cincinnati, one of the three underdogs that you like. Nick and I have talked about that game a little bit on our show. Cincinnati +3 -20 was a bet for
me. Where are you following that?
Well, I like Cincinnati, but I want the three. Yeah, we both want Cincinnati in the game somehow. So it's either 3, which was available earlier in the week, -120, which I have. We talked about teasing them up at 2.5 through 3 and 7. So I think we're all kind of on the same page that we definitely don't want Chicago. Let's put it that way.
Never Chicago. It's like never Chicago. Never Trumpers. This is never Chicago.
Right. Exactly. You know, Justin Fields comes in. Yes. And then we're all about Chicago.
Exactly. But I know you mentioned 2 other underdogs and would obviously love to get them. So Cincinnati, I think you get no disagreement from this panel on that one. Underdog number 2 is who?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling here. How about Carolina getting 3.5 at home? I think one of the most shocking developments in week 1, and I know it's against the Jets, but that defense is ferocious. And it's based on how they built it over the last years. They've just been bringing athletes who play aggressively, play downhill, and can make plays on the ball. And what New Orleans did last week to the Packers as we opened this conversation, I mean, it was an absolute blowout. And their offensive line was great, but they're already missing Eric McCoy. On the interior of that offensive line, the Packers have some nice individual pieces, but they never made them like a cohesive unit. We know that Jameis was able to like stand back there last week and, you know, fire passes that Drew Brees hasn't done in 9,000 attempts with the New Orleans Saints. But I also believe in this Carolina Panthers offense to a big degree in that it's almost too big to fail. And they even had room to grow last week because Sam Darnold missed an easy seam pass to Ian Thomas in the red zone. He then fumbled the ball on a 4th and 1, I believe, or 4th and goal. And that's an area where the Panthers really struggled last season. So I'm really feeling this Carolina Panthers back-to-back, I believe, home games to start and to cover that 3.5 or win outright.
Yeah, I love me some Shaq Thompson, Jeremy Chan. I got them in some IDP fantasy football leagues that I play. So I'm with you there on the Carolina defense. I think Carolina is going to try to outscore them. I don't think the Saints are built to come back from games. I think Carolina is going to win. So I'm with you on that one, Josh. Maybe not my co-host on that game with the Saints and Panthers, but him and I will talk about that game more tomorrow and in the Sunday morning edition of our show. So we're talking in the chat right now, like that obviously you can't see, people can't see, but we have a show chat with the technological setup that we have here. So I have a thought on who you're going to have as your third underdog. So does my co-host Ken Barkley. Ooh. Let's find out who your third and final underdog is that you like this week.
Okay. I left this for last because the least confident I'm one. I kind of like Tennessee on the road against Seattle.
Guess what, buddy? Guess what, buddy? So do we.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Look at you guys. I mean, Seattle was awesome last week, but I think so much of their offensive success was dictated on the negatives and the failures of Indianapolis, like trotting out the same defense over and over. Like both those Tyler Lockett touchdowns, he was isolated with the safety one-on-one about 15 yards off the line of scrimmage. Now, I'm not saying Tennessee's defense is good at all, but that's one of those games that we almost have to throw out because 2 sack fumbles, 5 or 6 sacks on Ryan Tannehill, they were never able to, you know, establish their identity. And I know this is a tiny little sample, but in that first series for the Colts, both Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor were absolutely obliterating that front 7 and just gaining chunk yards over chunk yards over chunk yards. Tennessee just cannot be as bad as they were last week. And I think maybe even extra week of practice gets Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill on the same page because they weren't working together in preseason. So yeah, Tennessee -5.5 or +5.5, I should say, is one direction I'm looking into.
Josh, we're running out of time here. We have like 15, 20 seconds left here. Give us the one thing, player, prop, side, or total you're most confident in tonight, Giants at the Washington football team.
Terry McLaurin over, I think it was about 70 receiving yards that I saw the last time. I think that Taylor Heinicke, if he's going to one player and to feed one player, it is Terry McLaurin tonight, despite a difficult matchup with James Bradbury, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you this. If De'Ami Brown has like 40 receiving yards and a touchdown, I'm retiring because I'll be rich. Josh, we love having you on the show. We appreciate it. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. Enjoy week 2, and we'll catch you next Thursday here on You Better You Bet.
See you guys. Have a good
All right, that's Odyssey Sports Fantasy Football Insider. Josh Norris, Insider Calls, brought to you by the great BetQL. Quick break here on You Better You Bet, and when we come back, Sam Panayotovich giving us college football and NFL picks for the weekend.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.